Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. The show originally aired on the Premier Networks on Saturday, August 1st, 2015. This is episode 1207. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by the new Epson Workforce printers, powered by PrecisionCore. Workforce is an award-winning line of all-in-one printers for your home office, small to large business, or corporate work groups. Visit Epson.com to find out more. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, or other Apple product is worth at Gazelle.com. And by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 100-plus job sites, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter with a free 4-day trial now at ZipRecruiter.com/TechGuy. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. And it's time to talk tech. Computers and the internet and Windows 10 and digital photography, smartphones, smartwatches, all that jazz. 888-ASK-LEO. That's the number. 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. It's free if you call using Skype from anywhere else. Skype is free when you call a toll-free number. 888-827-5536. How are you today? Did you install Windows 10? I did, a couple of times. certainly worth doing. I was of the opinion Windows 7 was the best version of Windows to date. Not too thrilled with 8. 8.1 fixed a few things, but still missed. I missed the desktop. I missed the start menu. I missed Windows the way we'd been doing it since Windows 95, you know, for 20 years. And I think Microsoft heard us, because I don't think I'm alone. I think business did not adopt Windows 8. It was too big of a jump, required too much retraining. Home users, I think some liked it. Some didn't. Most didn't. And I think it was one of the poorest selling versions of Windows ever, probably a second only to Windows Vista. Maybe worse, I don't know. So Microsoft reinvented Windows, and they decided that it was such a big difference, we're not even going to call it Windows 9. We're going to skip all the way to 10. And I have to say now, I've only been using it since it came out, which was July 29th, so 3 days. But I like it a lot. I like it a lot. Now, here's my advice to you. Many of you have already been offered Windows 10. If you're using Windows 7 or 8, you've probably already seen pop-ups. And I'm sure your computer's already said, hey, come on, wouldn't you like to go to Windows 10? No, I wouldn't rush it at this point. It is not done. In fact, there will be a update to it. They call it Windows 10's codename was Threshold. They call the update currently Threshold 2, and it'll be out in the fall. Now, an interesting thing, when Microsoft first announced Windows 10, they said fall of 2015. Here we are, end of July, and it's out. Did they finish it sooner than they thought? Unlikely. Frankly, unlikely. I've never heard of a software project being done early. No, that doesn't happen. Does not happen. What is more likely is that Threshold 2, the version that comes out in the fall, is the full version of Windows 10 that Microsoft wanted to ship. They have never, in years, they have failed to make the very important, I think, back-to-school ship date, which would be about the end of July. Get it on computers that are coming out in August so kids can buy it for back-to-school in September. And Microsoft has tried and tried and failed and failed to do that. And I think they said, you know, Windows 10's good enough. It's good enough. Let's see if we can just put it out in July. What do you say? What do you say, kids? And then we'll do an update that will kind of polish it up and finish it up in the fall. Now, I think Windows 10 is plenty good. You know, it's been in public trials, beta tests, they call it, for months now. Lots of people have been using it, and lots of bugs have been fixed. But there's a few things kind of missing. Microsoft, for instance, shipped a new browser. They've replaced Internet Explorer with something called Edge. That's convenient because they could still reuse the E icon. They don't have to do it. We'll call it Edge, and we can use the same icon. Good idea. Yeah, it's spiffed up. Edge is a good browser, but not done. There are no plugins for it, for instance. So I use LastPass. You know, we love LastPass. Can't use LastPass with Edge. Can't use a lot of things with Edge. So Microsoft said, what are we going to do? Oh, let's continue. let's put Internet Explorer out, too, with Windows 10. But we won't tell anybody. And then if they need something like that, then we'll say, oh, you probably should use IE. See, it's hidden in here. And that's what they did. So Edge will be more done in the fall. There's other little hints that Microsoft perhaps wanted to do more. They had planned to make Skype. You know, remember they bought Skype a couple of years ago for a lot of money. The universal messaging and kind of app that built throughout it. And that isn't, you have to download and install it. And that's, I think they're going to fix that. So there'll be some things in Threshold 2 that will finish it up. Which is not to say you shouldn't download it. It's just that it's always a risk to run a brand new operating system when it's this big of a change, especially on a computer you need. If you have a extra computer you want to try it out on, certainly fine to do that. And of course, I installed it immediately, but that's my job, and I like it quite a bit. But don't feel I guess what I'm saying is don't feel pressured. Microsoft has put the pressure on. They announced 14 million downloads in the first day and blah, blah, blah. It's a very easy upgrade to make, especially if you are offered it. Now, I made another mistake, being the impatient person I am. I went out and downloaded it from Microsoft, because you can do that. But I must have done something wrong, because it never activated. And activation is important. Remember, after 30 days, if you don't activate it, it'll stop working. So it's kind of a minor thing. It's kind of important. So I on Thursday, I downloaded it, installed it on Thursday, didn't activate. I waited a day or two. Still not. By Friday, I was saying, this isn't good. So the good news is, for a month at least, you can roll back to Windows 8 or 7. So if you try it and you say, it's not ready or whatever, you can roll back. Every time you do these things, installing Windows 10, rolling back to Windows 7 or 8, you're always running the risk you're going to lose data and stuff. So make sure you back it up really seriously. Make sure you back it up before you do this. You could roll back. I rolled back to Windows 8.1, which is I'm using a Dell laptop that came out this year, the XPS 13. So it rolled back to Windows 8.1, which is what the laptop came from. And then I made sure it had activated as 8.1, so it was like legit and all that. It was back to the way it was when I got it. And then lo and behold, the very first thing that happens, big splash screen from Microsoft saying, Windows 10 is here, you want it? I said, yeah, what the heck? So I installed it. So now there are some people asking, how do I do a clean install? And the jury's still out a little bit on this. You know how I recommend when you install a big upgrade to the operating system, you start from scratch, you wipe the drive and start from scratch? That might be a little bit of an issue here, given that you have to prove you had Windows 7 or 8 on that machine, etc. So my friend Paul Thurrott, the Windows expert at Thurrott.com, said, best thing to do the upgrade. And then immediately after you do the upgrade, you can go to the control panel. And there's this recovery control panel. And you can reset the machine back to Windows 10, and you can even wipe all the data and all the apps and all the settings. By doing that, he says, that's a clean install. But that way you'll have it activated and then do the reset, and then you'll be clean. Okay. What's been your experience? I'm curious. Have you loved Windows 10 so far? Did you install it? Are you hesitant? You want to ask some questions about it? I'm glad to help you. I have spent the last 3 days doing nothing but playing with Windows 10, so I can give you some. No, Candy Crush Saga does not come with Windows 10. That's a relief. Just an icon saying Candy Crush Saga. When you click it, you have to go download it. So you could just delete that. Uninstall that icon, and you don't have to worry about that. Some people were worried. Minecraft, too. Big ad for Minecraft. Nope, go uninstall it. Then you won't see the ad anymore. Doesn't come with the download. Any other questions? 8888-ASK-LEO. Yes, some people noted that your media center doesn't work with Windows 10. That would be another reason not to go to Windows 10. Somebody told me that their Windows Media Player even was deleted, and there's no Windows Movie Maker. So some things have disappeared. Another reason to... You don't want to rush. Don't be like me. Don't be impatient. Be a patient user, and I think things will work out better for you. But let's hear about it. 8888 Ask Leo. Scott Wilkinson, home theater guru, coming up at half past the hour. Lots more fun. You stay right here. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. A little yes for... Am I wrong? Did somebody just pass away from the group Yes, or am I wrong? Chris Squire did, didn't he? Yeah. The guy playing that great riff right at the beginning there. 8888 Ask Leo. Look, the beautiful... You look like springtime 1967.
Good,
Heather Homan is
then.
Here. Yeah,
that's
is that
exactly
what you're going for?
Going
it's
for.
Awesome. The hippie chick, Heather Homan, is here. No, that is great. You could be on that show, Aquarius. Yeah. When the moon... Did you see the blue moon last night?
Yes, I did.
It was in Aquarius, by the way. The second house.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, Jupiter aligned with Mars.
It was out of a movie with the clouds and fog blowing
so beautiful.
By. I started to have to bay like a wolf.
Wasn't it gorgeous?
Mm-hmm.
I think peace will rule the planets. And love will rule the stars. But I could be wrong on that. It is not blue, contrary to popular fiction. Right? It wasn't blue, was it?
Nope.
We couldn't see it here. It was cloudy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know.
I should have taken a picture for you. It was a little more silvery.
I saw a few pictures. That's one thing social media, the internet, really kind of guarantees. Yeah. There's nothing that will happen. Nothing shall happen on this earth without which there are many pictures on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter.
Right.
So how are you? I missed you last Sunday.
Aww.
All well? Did you have a birthday? I think you did.
No.
No?
Oh, birthday parties, yeah. But my birthday is coming up.
It's coming up.
Just so everyone knows.
I didn't miss it. That's a relief. So I got my Dash button.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know about these?
No.
Amazon released these a few months ago, but they're now, for the first time ever, in public release. I thought they released it March 31st, and I thought it was an early April Fool's joke. Now, let me open it up and show you. The idea is it is a button that you affix. It's got adhesive on the back. Next, like say put it in your laundry room or whatever, and then there's different products, and if you push the button... It sends you the product.
In a pneumatic tube?
No, I wish. This is Cottonelle toilet paper. I think I'll put it right in the commode. But the funny thing is, okay, so if you've ever ordered it on Amazon Prime before, you could set it up so it'll just repeat the order. The last order and boom. And you press it. But the problem is it won't come for 2 days. So expect a bit of a wait. They have it for all sorts of household commodities, not just toilet paper, paper towels, laundry detergent. $5. I don't know why they charge you. They really should. I guess they should because it costs them something to make. But aren't they just going to make a ton of money from it? So you tie it. You need to get the Amazon app on your smart device because if you don't have Amazon Prime ordering set up for that product, it will just add it to a list. Or I guess put it in your shopping cart, and then you have to go to the app and order it. Isn't that funny?
That's amazing. Now I never have to remember anything ever
you
again.
You put buttons on everything in the house, your children, everything. And when you need a new one, you just press the button. It's not as fun, but it comes in 2 days. So
yeah,
there's,
right.
There's that.
Does it work on boyfriends? Because 2 days is really long for me to
I think there's
that.
An Amazon Dash button for that, yes. Isn't that funny? There is also, in case you have children... a kid would probably go in there and press it a bunch of times, right?
Oh.
It won't order again until that first order arrives. So, okay. In other words, it's not going to order 1,000 rolls of TP. It's going to just order once. 2 days later, it comes. Now it's reset, and you could order again. Clever.
They could do the Apple Touch idea, so it only recognizes your thumb.
That would have to cost a little more than $5, mm-hmm. Methinks. So they just, I like that this week, they put that on for everybody. Because before you, and I asked for an invitation, and I didn't get an invitation. So let's see. They have dash buttons for tide. What else? Let me see. Let's see what else they have dash buttons for. Bounty. Glad bags. Clorox disinfecting wipes. There's quite a few of these.
No bonbons?
Oh, that would be a bad thing. Give me more candy. Give me more candy. Amazon dash button. If you search for the dash button, you'll see a variety of dash buttons you can get. Or just buy toilet paper direct. I don't know. What do you think? Would you do this? $5? Yeah, I think you have to be an Amazon Prime member. It says, while supplies last. See, I feel like you're just, this is something good for Amazon. I feel like they should just send these to everybody automatically.
That's a great idea.
Just, wouldn't you like one of these? Fusion blades? Never run out of blades? Uh-huh. It's kind of a clever idea. Dash. I'm going to order some more. What would you, you want boyfriend button?
Yeah.
New boyfriend, please.
And for when I'm...
They should have removal, though, as well.
Right. It's like I when wore you, them out, take
like
them
when
away.
You go to the mattress store, they take the old one for free.
That's awesome. Sleep train, maybe. We'll take it away and set it up.
Would you like me to take a call? Because I see you've lined up some wonderful callers here.
Yeah, well, I got to say, the Windows 10 calls are coming in, but
they
let's
should,
do something
yeah.
fun.
Okay.
Max in Wellington, Florida.
All right. Hello, Max.
How are you doing today, Leo?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty great. How are you interested in talking about VR headsets today?
I will. I'll be glad to. Anything you want to talk about, I'm glad to talk about. Do you have one of those VR headsets?
I do, actually. I own the DK1 Oculus Rift.
Oh, you must. That was the. I bought that too on Kickstarter, right? That's the experimental.
Yeah, actually, eBay afterwards to try to be a bit cheaper, but
you were smart. But see, when we did it on Kickstarter, this was the beginning of Oculus, and we wanted to people who donated and millions of people or millions of dollars in money was raised to support the idea. Of course, then they sold out to Facebook, and they don't need our money anymore.
Yeah. My question for you today is, like I said, I currently own the DK1, and I want to know if you think it's worth the money to upgrade to the DK2 or wait for the HTC Vive or the actual consumer edition?
I'd wait.
What do you think I should do?
I'd wait. Because the consumer edition is going to come out in the next few months, or maybe early next year. I guess early next year. We don't know, but they said that plus a good game machine would be about $1,500. That sounds like $500. For the Oculus Rift by itself. Plus, more importantly, I think that you're going to see some other stuff that's maybe even better. A lot of people who've used the Vive are very excited. Are you a gamer?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, that's the main reason, in my opinion, VR is interesting, is for gaming. You put this, just describe it, you put these, it's a visor, and you put it on. You can't see anything anymore. It's connected to your computer. You run some software on your computer, you can look up, down, left, right, and your view changes. You can move around and your view changes with it. It puts you in that world. It makes people queasy, some people, so that's a thing to be aware of. But I do think we're about to make great strides in VR, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a bit. But first, we got to take a break. Hey, thank you for the call. I'd say Max, wait. And coming up, Scott Wilkinson, Home Theater Guru. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, that guy, that Santa Claus-looking fella, the guy who says ho, 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 is Mr. Scott Wilkinson. He is the editor-in-chief of the AVS Forum and our home theater geek. He does a home theater geek podcast at twit.tv/HTG. Hello, Scotty.
Hey, Leo, how you doing?
Good to see you.
Thank you, and you.
What do you want to? I forgot to ask before the break. I was busy setting up my dash button.
Yeah, I was watching that. That's looks a little more complicated than it should be.
Well, I think it's starting to work now. It says, now, what do you want to order? You want to want 32 count, 12 count, 4 count? How much? In other words, how much toilet paper do you want every time you press the button? I'm going to say, give me the max.
Yeah. I mean, it's a consumable, and it doesn't degrade. So, you know.
Why not?
You're going to use it.
It's crazy, man. Crazy. So, Scott, what do you want to talk about?
Well, listen, today I want to start with a little obit for Sharp TVs in the United States and North America. This week they announced they're getting out of the TV business.
No.
Yep.
That's the folks who did the Aquos with an extra channel of yellow and George Takei.
Of yellow.
Said, oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my.
Exactly. Oh, my. So. Exactly so. Well, this week they announced that they are getting out of the TV business in North America, and they are licensing the Sharp brand to a Chinese company by the name of Hisense.
Oh, my. Oh, we have some Hisense. Hisense and TCL
yes.
are both brands that coming from mainland China that really wanted to become the next big thing. They looked at how the Korean sets were doing and, you know, Samsung yep. and LG, and said, well, that's what we want to do.
Yep.
In fact,
that's
Hisense,
exactly right.
Isn't Hisense the one that took over the Microsoft booth at the Consumer Electronics Show? I believe
yes.
it is.
Yes, they are. And TCL bought the naming rights to the famous Chinese theater in Hollywood. You know, the one with the handprints and the footprints in the foyer.
I think Hisense got a better deal.
Well, it's now called the TCL Chinese Theater.
Yeah, but who knows that? Whereas, so did they buy Aquos? Did they buy Sharp? What did they buy? The name?
They bought the Sharp brand.
So
yeah,
they're licensing the Sharp name. So yeah, if I buy a Sharp TV in the U.S., it's now Hisense.
Well, not yet.
Will be.
I mean, they just made this announcement. But yes, it will be.
Interesting.
And, you know, what's going to happen with that? It's hard to say. There wasn't a lot of detail in the news release, but it's kind of big news because there are now only two Japanese TV makers left, Panasonic and Sharp. I mean, and Sony, sorry.
And we know Sony's been losing money hand over fist, right?
Hand over fist. And Panasonic isn't doing too great in the TV business anyway, either, because the margins are so slim.
Wow.
And ever since plasma went away, Panasonic had the plasma market for sure. But then, you know, everybody stopped making plasma. So they're actually doing a pretty good job of LCD TVs now. But so
wow.
as I've said many times, you know, it started in America, right? I mean, we had Magnavox, we had Westinghouse, we had all these great TV brands. Yeah. Then it migrated to Japan, and we had Sony, Panasonic, Sharp, Toshiba, Hitachi. All of those but Panasonic and Sony are out now, and then it migrated to Korea, and we have LG and Samsung, who are still doing pretty good. I think the next migration, obviously, is to China.
Yeah.
And
are most sets made in China anyway, or no?
Yeah. Most of them are. That's
okay.
correct.
Right.
A lot of these companies do their initial manufacturing in China anyway. They have other assembly facilities elsewhere. Samsung has some in Mexico. So that makes it easier to get those TVs into the U.S. But, you know, the whole TV manufacturing landscape is changing big time. In fact, I got an email from a guy named Dave Weyrick, who asked about which TV to buy. And he's thinking of a Sharp LC70, UC30, or the Vizio M70 C3. And I'm saying, get the Vizio.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to tell you the truth, I have never been a big fan of Sharp TVs. I have never thought they performed that well.
Hmm.
And probably one of the reasons why they've gotten out of the market is that they only owned, 3% or less
right.
of the U.S. market?
Boy, they did a lot of advertising, though.
But they did an awful wow. lot of advertising. I mean, we all still remember.
They were the ones that made the 103-inch, the biggest LCD we'd ever seen. I showed it on
yep.
Live with Kelly and Regis.
Yep.
They flew
yep.
it in a jet, 747, yep. belly of a... Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
That was Sharp.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Well, you know, they invented LCD display technology.
Oh. And they still, I may be wrong, but I think they still make it for a lot of laptops.
Yes, they do.
I think they're still in that business.
Yep. They'll make screens for other people, but their own TVs just haven't done that well.
Now, Vizio, you mentioned Vizio, and a number of people say, oh, yeah, Vizio, they're an American company. Not so fast. They have headquarters in Southern California, right?
Yep, they do.
But those TVs are all made in China.
Yep, that's exactly right.
And I have to note that if you look at Vizio, most of the executives are Chinese. So
yeah.
I get the feeling that, maybe they bought a building to occupy in Southern California, and maybe the company's registered in U.S., so I guess it's in that respect a U.S. company. But
sure,
you're still buying a Chinese TV. Aren't you?
You are still buying a check. Yes, yes, yeah. You are. That's exactly okay. Right. There's also a company. This is an interesting one. There's a company called Seiki. You've probably heard of Seiki.
Yeah.
It sounds like a very Japanese name.
Yeah, Japanese, yeah.
It's Chinese company.
Chinese company.
They just made a Japanese name.
Somebody once said, and I think this is true, China is the factory of the world. Everything is ultimate. Yeah. It's hard, it would be hard to buy a smartphone, for instance, that wasn't made in China. Although I suspect Samsung makes them in Korea because it's a Korean company. But I feel like China makes most everything we buy. Certainly every iPhone is made in China.
Sure.
Yeah. So,
and a lot of TVs are too. So,
yeah.
You know, it's probably what you're getting. And there, I think like Japan, like Korea, I mean, do you remember LG used to be like the brand that you bought at the drugstore?
Yeah.
For like VCRs and stuff. Really, really cheaply made stuff. Now it's a premium brand. And so Samsung has much the same story. I think the same thing is going to happen from China.
So Vizio was founded, I have to correct myself, was founded in 2002 in Southern California by William Wang, Lainey Newsom, and Ken Lowe. $600,000, three employees. 2002, in 4 years, their revenue went to $700 million. in another year, $2
billion. Yeah.
So they've done very well. So it is in fact, an American company in the sense that they have over 400 employees, half of whom work in Irvine.
Yep.
And the TVs are designed there.
Yep.
The other half at a call center in South Dakota. And, of course, they manufacture their products in not only China but Mexico as well. So
yes.
There we go. I'm going to correct myself.
Okay, good.
But again, when you say a company's an – I think when you say it's an American company, the feeling you want to get is that they manufacture in America. And I don't know if there's anybody –
which is not true.
Is there anybody who still manufactures TV in the U.S.? I doubt it.
I don't think so. Not that I know of. I can't think of a single one.
Yeah.
Sadly, but true.
Yeah. So,
but Vizio makes a great product. I often recommend
it. You know, I've been telling people, if you want to save money, if budget is a concern and you want to get a good quality TV for less money, that's the product. That's the brand.
Yep. Yep.
Now, they have – you like the P line. That's their higher-end performance line.
Yes, but it's also 4K. But even the midline M series is now 4K.
Okay. Okay.
So you can't really kind of get away from it.
Yeah, and you don't have to watch 4K content.
No, it'll upscale, you know.
If it's cheap, it's 4K, it's fine. What do you care?
It's fine.
You just don't want to pay thousands extra for 4K yet.
Correct.
Maybe next year.
Correct.
Scott Wilkinson, Home Theater Geek. Listen to his podcast every week, twit.tv/HTG. Little disclaimer here, that is my podcast network. We love having Scott as a host for us and avsforum.com and every week right here. Thank you for joining me, Scott.
You bet.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More of your calls right after this. Somebody says there's a company in Michigan that makes large screen TVs.
Really?
Yeah. Must be.
Proton,
Proton was.
You turned off my video, didn't you?
No.
It just came back.
We may have turned off send.
But
we're seeing you.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, we may have turned off send to save.
I didn't see anything here, and I thought, maybe my video went away because of the signal was bad.
No, I can see you. You're a little blurry, but.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here. We had, like I said, heat outages twice last week, including Thursday, like an hour before my podcast.
Whoa, no.
And it finally came back on just in time. And I think John will confirm, but I think the video quality was good then. It obviously isn't now.
Element TV.
Oh, Element TV. Sure. That is the, I think it's the Best Buy house brand.
House brand.
Assembled in the USA. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I would never have guessed that. I mean, that's the cheap of the cheap.
Well, there you go.
At least in terms of cost. Yeah. You know, I had this idea once, and I haven't done it yet, and I really should. And that is to actually do some reviews of, you know, Element and Insignia and Scepter or Spectre or whatever it is. You know, the captive house brands of retailers and just see how good they are. I can't imagine they're very good, but I don't actually know. I've never actually tried them. High Tech in the chat room is saying Element is working perfectly.
Well.
Maybe he's joshing us.
No. It may well be.
Yeah, well. And then there's BenQ. I wonder where they make their projectors.
BenQ's BenQ, Chinese, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so.
That's ASUS. So. BenQ was ASUS.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. Yes, the Spectre TV would spy on you, PsyOps. Heiss, Mike Heiss in the chat room, a good friend of mine and a deeply knowledgeable fellow, I've been on my show a number of times, says very small scale using offshore sourced components.
Well,
I guess
course,
that's the
everybody.
Element.
I mean, even Apple, when they make their Mac Pro in Texas, none of the components are made in the U.S.
Right. So. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Rusty Bone says, trouble with sharp screens might explain the delay in Vizio reference series. If Vizio is getting their screens from Sharp, possibly. I sort of thought they were getting them from LG, though. Mike Heiss might know. I don't, actually. I know Pete Putman would certainly know. The Vizio reference series is a real question mark. We just don't know
what's
happening.
Oh, they're made by Sharp.
Are they?
I think somebody just said they were.
Okay.
Which would
well, that's what Rusty
it.
Bones was saying in the chat room.
Right. That would explain any issues with them.
Yeah, it could be. But the reference series, we're all waiting for that so with such bated breath because it implements Dolby Vision high dynamic range. And Vudu is starting to stream content graded in Dolby Vision high dynamic range.
Is
and
it possible?
Man, oh man, I can't wait to see that.
Is it possible that Vizio may end up becoming a high-end TV company instead of a second tier?
I think they could rightly be called first tier now.
Yeah, okay.
I mean,
they're
less expensive, which is a really good thing, and that's why a lot of people would call them second tier. But, you know, I think they're number one in sales in the U.S. If not number two, then probably. Right. I mean, Samsung might be number one, but they're right up there. They're right up there.
You're going to be here at the top of the hour?
Happy to.
All right. Hang in there. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. Oh, my. You've seen, we were talking about Windows 10, people upgrading to Windows 10, and you've seen, and if you haven't, you will, the furor over privacy in Windows 10. I have lots to say about that. And we have some tricks you can use to avoid being, if you're worried, being snooped on by Microsoft. I'll give you the kids call it TLDR, too long didn't read. The TLDR version of this, which is, I don't think you need to worry about Windows 10, but if you do, there are ways to mitigate the privacy issues. So we'll explain more of that next hour. 8888 Ask Leo. Michael in Anaheim, California, you're next. Hi, Michael.
Yes, hi. I just want to say, by the way, that I listen to your show like almost every Saturday when I'm on my way back and forth from work, and I think it's great.
Thank you.
I love the show.
Oh, I'm so glad you listened. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, I have a question. I've been trying to figure it out for the better part of yesterday, and usually I'm pretty tech savvy, but this is kind of stumping me. So yesterday in the morning, I was running Windows 7. Everything was fine. And then a friend of mine convinced me to do the upgrade, and I thought, sure, whatever. I'll just do it then, and I did.
Wait a minute, you upgraded out of peer pressure.
I did. Because
what did your friend said? Come on, man, all the kids are doing it.
I was seduced by how beautiful it looked.
It is beautiful. I agree.
It's beautiful. Yeah. So I did it, and everything looked fine, but except once the update was finished, I noticed that I had the little warning triangle with the exclamation point that told me I didn't have internet access anymore.
Oh, nice.
Unidentified network. And so I figured...
How did you do the upgrade?
I just did it through the website, the simple install upgrade. Just the upgrade, not the...
So you went to Microsoft's website and you downloaded it.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Let me say first off, I did that also, and a number of my devices. You look in the device manager. Never got drivers. That is, in fact, I think not necessarily the way to go. Okay. And the reason I made a mistake doing that is I have a Dell, and that was running an OEM, original equipment manufacturer, in other words, Dell version of Windows 8.1. And the better way to do it was to wait until, you know, have 8.1 running and wait until Microsoft said, oh, you can upgrade, would you like to, and let Microsoft do it. Doing it that way, I did it twice, doing it that way was not only faster, but all the drivers worked. And that was a big issue because the drivers never did seem to download. I ran Windows Update as often as I could. They never seemed to get down. I never got activated either.
So, I would probably agree with you, except that through all of my frantic, I don't have internet and this is bothering me.
Yes.
I decided to just
roll back.
To Windows 7.
Yeah.
And even once I did that, and I have my suspicions that I didn't do it exactly correctly, but I'm pretty sure that I did a complete reinstallation of my computer.
Uh-huh.
And I have Windows 7. But I still can't access the internet.
Well, it's a possibility that it's a coinkydink, that you just that particular bit of hardware stopped working right at the same time as you install Windows 10. Seems unlikely, doesn't it?
It does, and because it was, I mean, exactly as the update finished was when I didn't have internet, and I've tried restarting the router. I've tried, you know, the thing is too is that it seems like it's not even communicating with the router because I go to the IP address to look at my router information and it just won't.
Good.
And right.
Good. So, what that means is not your router. What that means probably is the driver for your Wi-Fi. It's Wi-Fi, right?
No, it's Ethernet.
Ooh, even worse. Really? Okay.
Yeah. So
that means you're hardwired connected. Now, of course, Ethernet still has a driver. It has to connect. It's probably a motherboard driver. I would go, who's the computer by? Who made the computer?
It's a custom-built computer, but my motherboard is Asus.
So I would go to Asus and download the latest drivers for the motherboard. So the Ethernet's on the motherboard. So it'll be part of your...
Unfortunately, I've done that.
And it didn't fix it.
No, I mean, I can try doing it again, but...
Here's what I would do. I would wipe... I would not do a rollback. Do you have your Windows install stuff?
Yeah, I have everything.
Yeah, I would start... I would pretend Windows 10 never happened. And I would do a clean install of 7, and then... Now, make sure you get all the Asus drivers before you do the clean install, and then install the Asus.
Right.
You obviously have internet some other way.
Yeah. I mean, literally every other device in the house has no problem connecting to the internet, which...
I mean, it is possible that let's hope it's not, because it's a motherboard connector, and so that means it's the motherboard. Let's hope that that's fine. I think it is. I think it's a driver issue, and I think that the rollback... See, this is the rollback. Obviously, the driver was clobbered by the Windows 10 update, and apparently the rollback didn't restore it.
Right.
And now you installed the Asus drivers, which that's a little concerning, but I'm thinking your best bet is to do a clean install of Windows 7, like as if, you know, wipe the drive as if Windows 10 never happened. Mm-hmm. And then make sure you have the latest drivers from Asus, the Windows 7 drivers from Asus, and every other hard. This is the problem, and I gather you're a gamer.
Yes.
Yeah. The only reason people build a computer these days is because they really want performance, and they want to pick their video card and all of that. Because the real problem with building your own computer is you're the warranty guy. You're the court of last resort. You can't call Dell and say what happened.
And
good luck calling Asus and saying, "Hey, my motherboard's not working."
It's really funny actually because I was so frantic yesterday that I actually called my internet provider, which is Time Warner, to see if they were experiencing any Windows 10 common problems, people calling in and seeing if they had a quick fix. And I spent a good 20 minutes with them. She just asked me over and over what brand my computer was. And I kept trying to explain
it
was custom.
Yeah, it's Michael Brand.
And she just kept, at one point she told me, look on the monitor. And what brand does it say on the monitor? And I told her, well, that's just the brand of the monitor. That's not going to help you at all. It was a nightmare.
You're on your own, and it's presumed that, well, hey, you built it. You ought to know everything there is to know about fixing it.
Right.
So somebody in the chat room suggesting that you try this from Slimware Utilities. Certainly worth a try before you do the clean boot. The Slim Drivers. Slim Drivers is a, you know, I have mixed feelings about it. It's a program that goes out and finds drivers. It's and, you know, actually Microsoft should have done something like this on Windows Update. It'll go out and find all the drivers that are missing and all that stuff. Do not get it from download.com if you can avoid it. Mm-hmm. Get it from slimwareutilities.com.
Yeah.
It is free. Try that before, because I think it's got to be a driver issue. And if it is, that's easily fixed.
I hope so.
And then look in your BIOS as well. Make sure it didn't get disabled. I mean, I...
Okay.
All the things that could go wrong. Now somebody else is saying Slimware downloads spyware. See, this is why I always am nervous about these free utilities. Well, how are they making money if it's free? So be very careful looking at it. Preston Gralla recommended it. I like Preston from PC World. So I'm hopeful that it's not junky, but keep an eye on it when you install it.
Right.
Yeah. Look in the device manager. You can roll back drivers. Try that. It's almost certainly a bad driver. And these are the kinds of things that just happen when you do this kind of thing. So let me reiterate my initial recommendation, which is be patient and certainly don't let peer pressure push you into Windows 10. My strong advice is to wait until Microsoft offers it. You're going to see a lot of bad advice, out there, on especially on hobbyist sites. Oh, you know, what you do is you run SLMGR, the license manager, and you type in this. Don't listen to them. These are all hacky things. Even getting it from Microsoft as an ISO. I think the best thing to do, and this will work, by the way, even if you built it yourself, because you have a legitimate licensed copy of Windows, is to wait. And when Microsoft says, okay, you can upgrade now, do. What that means is we've got all the drivers. We've checked. We know we have all the drivers for your particular set of hardware. Wait. It's going to be much more, reliable of an upgrade. We'll talk about the privacy mess Microsoft walked into and lots more. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More of your calls right after this.
Hey.
Hey, it's all yours for the next 486
seconds. 486
seconds. Enjoy.
485, 484.
No, 480.
Uh-oh.
You're wasting seconds, dude.
Okay, all right.
Push the button.
So, hey, everybody. Glad to see y'all. If you got anything you would like to discuss in the chat room, I am all ears. Mike Heiss in the chat room has been posting a couple things I think that are quite correct and reasonable and should be remembered, which is that Sharp as a company isn't going away. They make LCD panels for other companies, as we did talk about. They also have a huge business in solar panels, which use much the same sort of fabrication technology. So they've built this huge plant that I actually visited some years ago in Kameyama, which is it near Osaka? I can't remember now exactly. Mike will be able to tell me. But yeah, and they're still going to sell TVs in other parts of the world, just not North America, not Canada or the United States. So, you know, it's not that Sharp is going away, but those of us who live in the United States aren't going to see Sharp TV. Well, we are going to see Sharp TVs even, but they're going to be made by Hisense, not by Sharp. So that's kind of interesting. Friendly Manitoba asked, didn't Sharp sell off the rights to OLED? I didn't hear that. I'm pretty sure that it was Kodak who invented OLED to begin with. And I know that LG is the only company really pursuing it at this point. I don't know that Sharp sold off the rights. IO Geek saw the Andrew Jones new speaker line from ELAC. And gotta say, I had to pre-order them. What is your take on them? My take is they're phenomenal. Phenomenal. I mean, I respect Andrew Jones so much. And his speakers for Pioneer performed well above their price class, and so do these new ELACs. They're coming out in September. So, yeah, you have to pre-order them. But it's not going to be long now. You should go, if you didn't see the Home Theater Geeks episode with Andrew Jones, which was only three weeks ago, I think now, you should definitely go check that out, because we talked in depth about his new speakers, and they're phenomenal. Let's see here. Juke is asking, please suggest some DVRs for OTA, over-the-air broadcasting, that don't require subscriptions. The one that I know best is from Channel Master. I don't remember the model number, but if you just Google Channel Master, you will find them. And I think earlier in the chat room, you might have left a message, or somebody did, about WineGuard making a DVR. And I didn't know WineGuard made a DVR. WineGuard is probably the most well-known over-the-air antenna company. They're the guys, people who make antennas for your rooftop, or I think even in your window or in your room. But I didn't know they made DVRs. So that's kind of interesting. But Channel Master is the one that is the most common, I think. UJ is asking, here he is somewhere around here. Where did he go? Was asking about, did LG resolve their issue about OLED? Probably not quite yet. They had an issue, which we saw at the shootout last month, about a month ago, that they had these kind of dark, what's called vignetting on the sides of the screen, especially that became apparent in dark images, low light images. And, you know, it was pretty serious, in my opinion. It was a deal breaker for me. It wasn't for most of the people who voted at the shootout, but it was for me. And so they said that they knew that it was a problem. They acknowledged it. They said, we're going to fix it. But I don't think they have yet. Maybe they have, but it certainly hasn't appeared in products yet. That'll take a little while. Jerry NYC, if Sharp is gone, what happens to 20% of Costco space in their stores? Good question. It might still be Sharps there. It's just they'll be made by Hisense. MacBookie, do you think Apple, Google, et cetera, would increase the bitrate of their digital downloads to make them look better on larger screen TVs? Good question. I don't see why they would do that if they're being successful now. I mean, it's all a matter of business for them. I don't think, you know, I'm sure they want to deliver quality, but as long as they get past a certain level, this reminds me of the probably apocryphal story about some like Dish or DirecTV, some satellite or cable companies that crank up the compression until they get a certain number of complaint calls, and then they back it down a notch or two and call it done. They want to get as much compression, as little bandwidth requirement as possible without pissing off too many people of their customers. I've heard the same thing about movie volumes. You know, I always complain about the volume in movie theaters being too loud. And I've heard it said that they crank it up until they exceed a certain threshold of complaints. And then they back it off, and that's where they leave it. And it's still too loud. But let's see. Tripod, which Roku would you pick, the stick or the 3 version? The 3, for sure. Roku 3. It's a little box. It's not a stick. I have the stick. And I have encountered some problems with it in terms of not working very well, not crashing exactly, but hiccuping and not being really good. So definitely the Roku 3 is what I would get. Amy Ashi asks, what's the best movie representation of high dynamic range I've seen to date? That's a good question. I would probably have to say, sadly, Pixels. It's not a good movie. I kind of enjoyed it, but it's not really a good movie. But the high dynamic range just looked fantastic. I'm going tonight, by the way, to see Mission Impossible 5 in high dynamic range. I saw it in regular standard dynamic range already in a preview screening, and it's a great movie. It's really good if you like the Mission Impossible franchise. I can't wait to see it in high dynamic range tonight. I bet you it's going to be amazing. Really good. But I like Pixels. I like Tomorrowland. I didn't think Inside Out made that much of a difference, oddly. I think it's the way they mastered the movie. It has nothing to do with dynamic range. Lumpy enjoyed Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. Good. I really liked the movie. Can't wait to see it in high dynamic range. Friendly Manitoba, when will I finish off Game of Thrones? I've never watched Game of Thrones. It's too violent for me. All I can say about that.
Have a great week. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, smart women. 8888, ask Leo. Actually, lots of smart women listen to this show. That's why they're smart. They listen. 67 million PCs, according to Microsoft, now running Windows 10. That sounds like a lot. It's a drop in the bucket. There are 1.5 billion Windows users worldwide, but 67 million ain't bad. For years, Microsoft, and only regular observers of Microsoft would notice this, but for years, Microsoft sold 20 million copies of Windows a month. Every month, like clockwork, 20 million copies. 20 million copies. And I'm sure it wasn't that consistent, but that's what Microsoft reported every month, 20 million copies. So 67 million PCs in a few days is good. That's good. And, of course, making it free has a lot to do with it. You probably heard my advice. By the way, that is that more users than Windows 8 already? I think it is. Wow. I don't know if that's saying anything. You probably heard my advice not to rush this. A lot of people following instructions on fan sites, on geek sites, on hacker sites, on how to do this on versions before Windows 7 and so forth. You do that at your own risk, and I've had bad results in several. I tried many of these things just to see. We're often impatient, aren't we? We often can't wait. Well, wait. If I were you, I'd wait. If you have Windows 7 and Windows 8 and you've got them authorized, Microsoft says it will be a free upgrade. You have a whole year to take advantage of that. You have till July 29th, 2016. So there's no rush. It is always the case with a new operating system that there are going to be issues, bugs, problems. So don't be the one who has to put up with that, you know. Even though this one is well tested, more than 1 million people participated in the what they call the beta test for Windows 10 over the last 6 months. Nevertheless, as reliable as it is and as well tested as it is, it's always, you know, when it gets out into the real world, things happen. So it's not a bad idea to pause. My other strong advice is don't even consider doing it unless Microsoft pushes an announcement to you. When Microsoft says to you, okay, now it's okay to update to Windows 10, that's when you should do it, not before. Because what they're doing is checking to make sure you're compatible. And if there are hardware or driver incompatibilities, or if drivers are not available for some of your hardware, they won't suggest the upgrade. I think that's something to pay attention to. Wait. Don't jump the gun on this. And, of course, you'll hear people all over. I got a lot of tweets. Whoa, Leo, come on. It was easy. I installed it on my 8-year-old PC. No problem. What's wrong with you? Yeah, of course you did. Many people will do this without an issue. Many, many will. Probably the vast majority. However, it would behoove you not to be the 1 or 2% who have problems. Nothing worse, right? So be patient. Be patient. Now, let's talk about the privacy issue, because you're going to see a lot of dialogue about that. If you read, and nobody does, but if you read the license agreement, the many, many, many page license agreement you have to agree to, you read that, right? When you installed? No, you didn't read that? Well, you. So fortunately for us, there are those who do. And the Boy Genius Report is one of them. Now, the Boy Genius Report, I should point out, is at least got its start as an Apple blog. So perhaps there's a latent prejudice against Windows. We'll have to just acknowledge that that might be there. Zach Epstein, though, is a good writer. And he says it's a 12,000-word, he must have counted them, service agreement from Microsoft. And literally, when you're installing Windows 10, it pops it up on the screen. It says, read this. Sure. 12,000 words. I'll read that. And most of them words incomprehensible because they're written in lawyer speak. And then they ask you to agree to it, and you can't install until you agree. So how many people read that? Nobody. Zach is the only one. You know, and a lot of it is kind of, you know, you can't steal it and stuff like that. But this is the excerpt that Zach wanted to point out. And I'm quoting now. This is part of the 12,000 words. Finally, we being Microsoft, will access, disclose, and preserve personal data, including your content, such as the content of your emails, other private communications, or files in private folders, when we have a good faith belief that doing so is necessary to, one, comply with applicable law or respond to valid legal process, including from law enforcement or other government agencies. Wait a minute, let's stop there. We will access, disclose, and preserve personal data, including the contents of your emails, other private communications, or files in private folders when asked to do so by law enforcement, is what they're saying. So that tells us two things. One, they have the means to do this. That somehow Microsoft has the means to look inside your computer at private files in private folders. And that should they be subpoenaed, they will hand those over. Now, of course, they don't have any choice in the second part. If they are subpoenaed by law enforcement in the United States, they do business in the U.S. They have to hand it over or go to jail themselves. And in some cases, especially these national security letters you might have heard about, they're not allowed to tell anybody that this happened. So they're telling us up front, this could happen, probably will. And that I understand, but what I don't understand is why they have access to this information. Why did they build in a mechanism that would allow them to look at private files on my computer? You see these kinds of agreements a lot. You know, Google has some similar agreements, and that's because if, for instance, you use Google Photos, they have to have the ability to make a copy of your photo and store it on multiple servers. That's part of the, in order to give you the service, that's something they have to do. I can't think of a single reason why Microsoft would need to keep track, access, disclose, and preserve personal data like files in private folders. That's in this. This is the language. Why would they build that capability in? I can't think of any reason. Maybe for backup? Maybe they only mean Microsoft's cloud services? They say the second reason they might need to do that is to protect you. For instance, to prevent, this is a quote, prevent spam or attempts to defraud users of the services or help prevent the loss of life or serious injury of anyone. Okay. You need to access my personal files to prevent the loss of life? Okay, well, okay. You know, I don't want anybody to die because of what I wrote, so okay. Three, to operate and maintain the security of our services. You can look at my personal files to maintain your own security, including to prevent or stop an attack on our computer systems or networks. Four, protect the rights or property of Microsoft, including enforcing the terms governing the use of these services. However, let's hope the however says, we would never do this, right? We would never do this. However, if we receive information indicating that someone is using our services to traffic in stolen intellectual or physical property of Microsoft, we will not inspect a customer's private content ourselves, but may refer the matter to law enforcement. This comes from a very, very well-publicized case in which they looked into somebody's email to see if he was stealing from them. That's all that is. You can opt out of this. You're opted in by default. So when you install Windows 10, there's an express settings. Don't do it. We'll talk when we come back. Or a little, I can tell you what, I'll save this for the next hour. I want to take calls. We'll talk about what to do, what to turn off to protect yourself. Don't use those express settings. That's just what you don't want to do. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey, let's talk about Epson. We love Epson. What a great sponsor. We're really happy to have the Epson brand on our podcast and the great Epson Workforce Series. powered by Precision Core. I don't get enough time on the radio. I had to explain what this is. Precision Core is something that they used to have in their high-end print shop stuff. Super high res. This is state-of-the-art inkjet technology. And they've brought it now to their all-in-one printers for home office, as well as small, large business and corporate work groups. They say Precision Core provides performance beyond laser. It's higher. It's incredible. And the new printing technology that powers the workforce printers. It was initially developed for industrial printers. Fast, dependable. It has to be an industry, right? Reliable, high performance, multifunction and workgroup printing to help businesses run at full speed. You've never seen anything faster or look better. Print shop quality with vibrant colors, clear, crisp text. The cost per page is half that of a color laser. Now we're talking. I immediately went out and replaced my old workforce with the new Precision Core workforces at home and here at work. We love them. As a worldwide leader in innovative business solutions, Epson understands your needs. That's why their technologies are designed to help you succeed, solving tomorrow's business problems today. They focus on enhancing output and efficiency for a better bottom line. Their products are backed by world-class service and support. They use the latest innovative technologies to help cut costs without compromising quality. And their products, of course, are recyclable and energy efficient. I love my workforce printer with Precision Core. There's no warm-up time. It's ready to go. Prints on a wide range of media, labels, absolutely. And it is very energy efficient, 70% less power in many cases than laser printers. Epson, built to perform. Go to Epson.com today. Find out why those workforce printers powered by Precision Core are the best. E-P-S-O-N, Epson.com. And, you know, I can recommend it. It's what we've been using at home for a long time. I'm a big fan. It's so great. You can scan over the network. You can fax. You can copy color copies. And it produces great color output. Fast. And because it's on the network, you know, we can print from anywhere in the house. I keep it in my office, a little drawer. That's probably one of the most common things you'll hear around the house. Is the printer door open? Yes, it's open. I just leave it open now all the time. Epson, built to perform. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888, ask Leo. That's the phone number. I suspect, by the way, the words in these Microsoft EULAs, the end user license agreement, are similar to words in Google's stuff. I haven't read Apple's, but I bet you they're similar words. I have to say, I've never seen anybody assert that they can read and will read your private files on your computer. I have never heard that. That's a first for me. And it may be that they need to amend it and say, when you use our cloud services, you know, that I would understand. When you store those files on our servers using OneDrive, that I would understand, but it doesn't say that. The implication is we can reach into your computer and look at your file. It says specifically files in private folders. That makes me a little queasy. It hasn't stopped me from using Windows 10, but if you had stuff that you wanted to keep private, you might not want to do it on a Windows 10 computer. And I suspect the only way to do this, I'm gonna look at Apple's end user license agreement. Never read that one either. My suspicion is you'd have to use Linux if you really wanted to be safe. Makes me a little nervous. 8888, ask Leo. That's the phone number. Back to the phones we go. Kirk, Crestline, California. Hi, Kirk. Leo Laporte.
Hello, Leo. Hey, I have a Toshiba Satellite S5210, and the other day I was downloading. I was kind of like half asleep, and I downloaded a Java update, and after that everything went south. It asked me if I wanted to delete old versions of Windows, or not Windows, but the Java.
Yeah.
So I did that. And after that, all my icons, my programs turned into shortcuts to an .exe file.
Oh. Well, now, wait a minute. Now, are you sure they weren't that before?
No.
Okay. Because a lot of times shortcuts... You know, that's what a shortcut is.
Well, no, it looks what it is. It turned all my little work, my that bar on the bottom, turned all those applications into a little shortcut window with Explorer icon in the middle of it.
Oh, so
now
when
I open it, it goes to a, it'll open some EXE file or want me to download.
Ah.
It says view downloads, Internet Explorer, view and track your downloads, has a little window. This one, MonopolyWin.exe. Do you want to run or save?
No.
I want to run away.
So it downloaded it.
And I don't know if this, it was either when I, at the same time that I did this Java update, it was an auto updater. Does that sound right?
Yeah. Oracle, which makes and owns Java now, does put in their Java installer some stuff that I wouldn't install, like the Ask toolbar, but they don't put viruses in there.
Yeah, when I clicked on the I unclicked the Yahoo as a homepage, and then
it changed Yahoo to your homepage.
No, I don't have a homepage now. I have nothing.
I don't think it's Java, but there are security flaws in Java that others can take advantage of. It might also be that it was related to something you did at the same time. You could have gone to a website that had some malware on it and that kind of thing. I think you got malware. So, these are all consistent with malware. A couple of things to verify it first. You know, we talked last week about a study Google just did about comparing what security experts do to what normal people do. And one of the things, security experts don't even mention antiviruses. And, of course, that's the first thing that most end users say is, oh, you need to go to antivirus. Well, that's kind of unfortunately out of date because viruses spread so fast now that they spread faster than the antivirus definitions. How often do you get your definitions? Even if you got them daily, you might not have the definitions for this virus that you just got via the internet. That's how fast they spread. They're called zero-day exploits because it takes 0 days to spread like wildfire through the internet. So an antivirus is only kind of after the fact. Now, it's useful in a case like this because you can scan your drive. You do have a tool on there everybody has, even if you've never installed an antivirus, called the Microsoft Malicious Removal Tool, Malicious Software Removal Tool, or MRT. You can run that by clicking the Windows key and the letter R to open a run box, and then you type MRT and hit return, and that'll open up a window. They don't put an icon. I don't know why. They don't put an icon in the menu for this, but it's a very useful tool. It's updated monthly by Microsoft. Run a thorough scan. That's the first thing. That'll tell you if you've got malware on your system. I would get a second opinion and a third. Run an antivirus if you've got one just to see, make sure it's up to date. But I would guess it's going to find some malware. That's what these symptoms sound like. Now, here's the problem. Once you get malware on your system, you're kind of out of luck. Because what you can't be sure about is how much malware is on there. You might find one. You found one. And you might say, well, look here, I could remove it. The malicious software removal tool says it's going to remove it. Okay, it's gone. Doesn't find anything else. My antivirus doesn't find anything else. Can you be sure you don't have a virus? You can't. Unfortunately, you can't. There are even viruses out there that antiviruses don't see. They're called rootkits, and most antiviruses can't detect them without special help. So, unfortunately, all experts will recommend, I'm going to have to say it too, that once your Windows is messed up by malware, once you find malware on your Windows, you got to reinstall. I hate to say it, but you got to wipe the drive. Back up your data. It's usually safe to back up your data. Data is not the problem. Notice that keeps trying to download programs, seemingly normal, nice programs like Monopoly. What could go wrong with that? Well, it might be named Monopoly, but chances are very good it isn't Monopoly. It's other malware. Once people get malware on their system, one of the first things bad software does is try to download more bad software. That's what it's doing to you. That's why I'm pretty sure it's a malware itself, because automatically downloading and getting you to install other programs is a sure giveaway. That's a giveaway. So, you know, the best thing you could do at this point is find your copy of Windows. You want a known good copy of Windows. That's why a DVD is a great thing to have. If you don't have a DVD, you might have a thumb drive with that you haven't messed with. You know that you don't keep in the computer all the time. It's got Windows on there. But whatever you do, you need to reinstall Windows. I hate to say it. And then restore your data. You can back up the data and restore it. Most people do not need Java anymore. It's kind of outdated. It's a good idea not to put Java or Flash on your computer unless you know you need it. Both of these are very messy. If you have Windows 8 or 10, there is a, you know, Restore My PC that is the same thing in most cases as reinstalling. One thing we got to watch out for is it's reinstalling from the install partition. And we got to make sure viruses aren't actually modifying the install partition. If I were a virus author, that's the first thing I'd do. Hey, let's install and make sure that even if he reinstalls, he's going to get it. That's why we said known good source. That's why a DVD is so good. I know somebody said in the chat room saying, sounds excessive. I know, but you've heard the reasons. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo, the phone number. Back to the phones we go. And John, Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, John.
Hey, Leo. I'm going to be staying in a extended stay motel for the next 3 months, and I really don't want to put all my devices right on their Wi-Fi network.
Yeah.
Do you have like a portable router or something that I can have a network that I control? I put all my stuff on and have it connect to their Wi-Fi?
Yeah. So there's two ways you can do this. You could actually use a computer to do this, but the better way would be to... D-Link makes a portable travel router, a Wi-Fi travel router. Number of companies do this.
I tried the Airport Express, and it didn't do what I wanted to do because it wanted me to either, you know, have an Ethernet cable, you know, in the room.
Well, that's the issue, right? Yeah. So if you have Wi-Fi only.
Right.
Yeah. So the travel routers I'm recommending also, like the Airport Express, want... like the AC750, which is the travel router I use, they want Ethernet because what they're going to do is become a Wi-Fi access point. So what is the advantage of something like this? Well, it's a router that is in between you and the hotel's network. And if you have ever used a hotel's network, whether on Wi-Fi or Ethernet, you know, you immediately see all these other computers on there. And you have to presume they see you as well. So any shares you've got going on, you're on a shared network. So you're very smart to have a router in between you. The best way to do it is with a VPN. And there are a number of routers that also have built-in VPNs. I used to use something from a company called, what was the name of it? Oh, now I've forgotten. They make a little box, and it's actually perfect for you. Let me find it. They make a little box. It's a travel router and a VPN device. And it kind of glues to the back of your laptop. It picks up the Wi-Fi, and then it's kind of the opposite. You connect your computer via Ethernet. Let me see if I can find this. I've recommended it before. They sell a number of these. They're about $100.
And you recommend that over the D-Link?
Well, the D-Link is the problem you have, which is it picks up an Ethernet signal and then makes it Wi-Fi. This does the opposite. Mm-hmm. It picks up a Wi-Fi signal and makes it Ethernet, which is a little weird. You can then share it via your computer as well. I'm trying to find the name of this. Gosh darn it. I had a whole bunch of them. And I'm going to have to punt because I don't want to. It's kind of boring radio to have me search the internet for the name of this product. I'll put it up in the show notes, though, techguylabs.com. There's a whole range of them. I got one for $99, which included a year of VPN service. That's going to give you the best security because here's what a VPN is, a virtual private network. So not only do you have a router between you and the hotel, that's good, but anything that goes out of your router into the public internet, including the hotel's network, is encrypted. All the way up to the VPN server. So no one knows what you're doing at the hotel, let alone being able to see your hard drive. It's good for use at any open access spot. So it does two things. It protects your privacy by using a VPN, protects your security by using a router. I will get this list for you. There's a number of these devices, and I think they're a good solution. think it's a good idea. I'm sure somebody's going to get it for me in just a second. That's what we use the chat room for. They're kind of my lazy Google. There it is. Tiny hardware firewall. Thank you, chat room. That was no one. No one told me that in the chat room. That's actually his handle. The Tiny Hardware Firewall at tinyhardwarefirewall.com. It is tiny. It's so cool. There are a variety of these, and they cost about, you know, $99 with a year subscription. Or you can get them with a monthly subscription. And they work with any kind of computer. It's really clever. Tiny Hardware Firewall. And it usually includes, and this one actually includes Tor as well, so you get even more anonymity. Somebody is telling me Netgear makes the Trek N300 travel router. Let me look at that, J5, from Netgear. This a router, understand, the router is giving you some protection because it's a barrier between you and the public network. Does this have an Ethernet connection? That's the question. Because remember, that was one of his issues, is he's in a hotel that doesn't have Wi-Fi. Yeah, I don't know if this is going to solve your problem. The tiny hardware firewall will. It'll work fine. 8888-ASK. Leo, that's the number. Myrna is in the line from Santa Ana, California. Hi, Myrna.
Hi, Myrna. Hi. I have a really quick question. My computer quit working. It just went dead. No particular reason. I had just 9.5 months ago put a new motherboard in it with Dell. It is a Dell Inspiron 7, and I don't really want to send it back to them since it's only been 9.5 months. Is there anybody you can suggest in the Orange or Santa Ana or Tustin area, anything around here?
I don't have referrals to. Boy, I wish there was some way to find a good computer guy. Don't you? They just need,
yes.
And the problem is anybody can hang out a shingle, and some of these folks know their stuff and some don't. And I do not keep a list of referrals. I just can't help you on that. I would point out that you're still under warranty, and
no,
so you're not.
It's 90 days. It's been 9.5 months, so it's out of warranty. I already called Dell. And I said, well, you know, this is ridiculous. I paid $269, and I'm not going to do that again to have it go out again.
No, I don't blame you.
A few
so
months,
they don't warranty, you know, their repair?
For 90 days only.
Yeah.
So I just, I know I can take it to the Geek Squad with Best Buy, but that they are kind of slow at getting the things.
Well, and their quality varies. Some of those, it's the same
right.
thing everywhere. Some of those guys know what they're doing. Some of them are barely geeks. They're geeks in name only.
Yeah. And I thought, well, you know everything about computers.
I don't know in Orange County who would be good. I wish I did. We got to figure out a way to do this. I guess you could check Yelp and see what recommendations are out there. Gosh, that's frustrating. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I get that question periodically, and I just don't know what to say. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the phone number. TechGuyLabs.com is the website, TechGuyLabs.com. I put everything we talk about there, lots of links, and we have a commenting area. So if you're listening and you're saying, oh, I have an idea, or I'm an Orange County repair guy, I'm great, I could help that caller, go to the website, TechGuyLabs.com, and add that. You can even vote up or down others' comments. So, you know, everything should work great, right? Just like Reddit. The best stuff should rise to the top. The worst stuff should go to the bottom. TechGuyLabs.com. That's free, by the way. I don't charge you. You don't need to sign up. I don't want your email address. It's just a website. You visit the website. A couple of follow-ups, though. Several people have told me that both the D-Link 750 travel router and the Trek from Netgear do support sharing Wi-Fi, so you can use them. It makes sense, actually. They should do that. You can connect with them to the hotel's Wi-Fi and then connect to the router and have that barrier between you and the outside world. Certainly something everybody who uses open internet should at least get that. I'm not sure how it handles that login page. The captured portal, they call that. You know when you go to a hotel or sometimes you go to a coffee shop and you take their Wi-Fi or the airport, and then it puts up a page that says, okay, you can use this Wi-Fi, but you got to give us your email address or whatever. That's called a captured portal. It breaks the internet. It's a big problem. And that's one of the issues with this, right? When you're in a hotel, almost always you have to use that. How do you get the router to get on the hotel Wi-Fi? They must have some mechanism. That's one of the things that's a little controversial in Windows 10. Windows 10 decided they'd fix this problem with something called Wi-Fi Sense. And one of the things Wi-Fi Sense does, which is awesome, is it automatically logs you in through those pages with bogus data, with dummy data. So you don't have to think about it. It just joins those open Wi-Fi networks. You won't see that sign-up page. It'll just fill it with dummy data. That's not going to work in a hotel because oftentimes a hotel wants to know, for instance, your last name and room number, or they want a Wi-Fi password or something like that. But where it can, it will log you in. There's also a little bit more controversial thing that Wi-Fi Sense does. It shouldn't be controversial, but it is designed to make it easy for you to share your network at home with friends. When friends come over, you know, how often do they say, hey, can I use your Wi-Fi? And you have to give them your password. Or if you're paranoid or don't trust your friends, you say, well, give me your phone. I'll log in for you. Either way, they get your password, and it's preserved on their phone or laptop until the next time they come back. They can get on any time from then on. That's a pain, and it's also insecure. Wi-Fi Sense gives you the option to share with another Windows device. It only works with Windows Phone or Windows laptops, but it will let you share with another Windows device, automatically share the Wi-Fi without giving them a password. And the password is not preserved. It's a little more secure. People are worried about that, including Brian Krebs, who's normally really a good security guy. This shows you how hard it is to do security. Krebs, in his column, said, unless you opt out, Windows 10 will by default share your Wi-Fi password with any contacts you have listed in Outlook and Skype. And with an opt-in, your Facebook friends. Nope, don't worry. The option is enabled by default when you install Windows 10. That's part of those express settings I was telling you about. But it does say, for networks I select. And unless you actually say, share my network with my Facebook account or my Outlook friends, unless it actually says, share it, it won't. So thank you, Ed Bott, for clearing this up. I love Ed. Ed's an old friend and a Windows guru. He points out, and of course, some of this was speculation until Windows 10 came out. But there's nothing to fear from Wi-Fi Sense. It's okay to have that turned on. If you don't actively share a network like your home network, it won't be shared. And no one will get the password. So there you go. Whew. We'll put a link to Ed's article debunking that security risk fear in our show notes at techguylabs.com. Thank you for sharing that with us. Chat room. I think it was Scooter X. It's always a useful fella in the chat room. 8888 Ask Leo. Back to the phones we go. And Bert, who's in Orangeburg, Pennsylvania. I'm sorry, Orwigsburg, Pennsylvania. Hi, Bert. Hello, Bert. I guess Bert wandered off. Let me try Mike in Los Angeles. Hi, Mike.
Hey there, Leo. Thanks for taking my call. I've been having a problem with my iPhone 6 Plus at home interfacing with my Time Warner internet. It's been worked perfectly for a couple of years, and now sometimes when I go into my settings, I notice I've been bumped off of using a Motorola surfboard, and one of my old internet connections that it was just like a booster that I had because the house is kind of irregularly conformed called D-Link gets they try to choose a network on.
Yeah, so it sees the D-Link and says, you know, this is stronger. I'm going to try to get this one.
Right, and I go to the D-Link and I try. It says forget this network, but on the iPhone 6, but it doesn't forget it. And then, and this has been happening just in the past couple of months. And I'm looking at the settings right now. Is there any suggestions that you have for the phone to forget that D-Link network?
Well, you certainly can have it forget it, but it's just going to see it and try to join it again. If you do, if you tap, I think it's the info button.
Yes.
You could forget, right?
Right.
But
yes.
That doesn't matter because even if it forgets it, it's going to see it and say, "Oh, that's stronger." We call this promiscuous Wi-Fi, and it is actually an issue on Macs, and I guess iPhones too. But it's also an issue on other hardware too. This isn't unusual. Because it looks for a stronger signal. Now, one of the issues is the way you've set up this as an extender. You don't want it to be a standalone router. You want it to have the same name as your other Wi-Fi network.
Which it does not.
Right. So it's not set up, it's not configured properly to be sharing. So I'm not sure, what is the access point? The main, is it the Verizon one? I'm sorry, was it Verizon? Oh, Time Warner, you said.
Correct.
Is it Time Warner's modem?
No, it is mine.
Okay. Is it who makes it?
A Motorola surfboard.
Oh, it's a surfboard that you bought.
Yes.
Now, the surfboard is a cable modem. What does it also have the router in it?
No, that might be owned by...
that's another device.
By Time Warner.
And that's Time Warner's device. Okay.
Right.
So, in general, you're using a spec called WDS, the Wireless Distribution System, to extend your Wi-Fi. But it's a very poorly written spec and can cause all sorts of problems. In this case, that extender should... What you want the extender to do is merely be a bridge to an existing network. So first thing I do is look in the settings on your extender. Make sure you've got it set as a bridge. You don't want it to do DHCP. In other words, you don't want it to look like a standalone router. And that's, I think, what's confusing the iPhone.
Let me just say, I no longer need that bridge because of the replacement of the location of the Time Warner.
Well, take it out.
It's up in the crawl space, and I'm not a crawl space type of guy.
Unplug it.
I think it is. I think so.
Okay, you can get to this. It's not unplugged, or the iPhone wouldn't see it. If you can get to the settings, if you know what the address for that device is, and go there, you can disable Wi-Fi, and then it'll still be on. But it won't be a Wi-Fi device.
That will solve my problems. Yeah. One other quick question. I am on Facebook, Leo Laporte. I'm trying to add Leo as a friend, and I know you're probably maxed out. But I'm also just trying to follow you, and I keep on hitting follow, and it does not let me follow.
I apologize. So my private page, Mike, is facebook.com/LeoGLaporte. And I only follow I'm actually using Facebook as it was intended. Not as a celebrity uses it. I'm I have a private Facebook account. Who'd have thunk it? The reason I'm doing that is to see what it's like, frankly, and if it's useful. And I find it much more useful that way. Now, I do have a public page, which is facebook.com/TheLeoLaporte, and that one you can follow. So follow the public page. The private page, I'm sorry, I don't have followers and allow them because I put private stuff there. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Our show, there are some new phones coming out. Are you excited? Our show today brought to you by the place you need to know about if you are getting ready to upgrade your phone, Gazelle.com. What do you do with the old devices when you move on? Well, I'll tell you what I do. We go to Gazelle.com. Go there right now and get a quote on anything. Even if, you know, you're thinking about the OnePlus 2 or you're thinking about the Moto X or the new Moto G and you're just not sure, go to Gazelle.com and get a quote for your old phone. They also buy tablets. Yes, they'll buy, if you want to get the new Surface, the Surface Pro 3, they'll buy your old Surface or Samsung or Google tablet. They give you top dollar. They turn it around fast, and they pay the postage on anything worth more than a buck. And if you forget to wipe your data, don't worry. Their Gazelle experts will do it for you. They'll even upgrade your offer if they say it's worth more than they thought it was. And that is kind of cool. I've never seen a company do that. Because no wonder people love Gazelle. 9.5 out of 10 on reseller ratings. They've paid out over $200 million to over a million customers. You may say, well, what happens to that stuff? Well, some of it they recycle. Some of it they sell other places. But the best devices they get in, they sell back to you if you want through the Gazelle Certified Like New or Certified Good programs. Certified Like New, those are as good as new, probably devices that were never used. Certified Good devices might show some gentle signs of wear, but you're going to save even more. And it's great if your kids break their phone or you lose your phone. Great place to go to get a replacement. You won't feel so bad about it. And by the way, every device Gazelle sells have been put through a rigorous 30-point inspection, so it's fully functional, backed by a 30-day risk-free return policy. To buy or sell, it's Gazelle, GAZELLE.com. Sell your gadgets and buy your gadgets the fast and simple way. With Gazelle, I do. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here. It's the Tech Guy Show. We talk about computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smartwatches, and all that jazz at 888-ASK-LEO. That's the number. 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Outside that area, you can use Skype to call us. The website is TechGuyLabs.com. Put lots of stuff there. Lots of stuff there. TechGuyLabs.com. I promised we've been talking about Windows 10 all day because, of course, it came out officially on Wednesday. Lots of people rushed to download it. Microsoft says 67 million installs in the last 3 days. That's pretty darn good. That's 3 months' worth of installs of previous versions of Windows, 67 million. I wonder how many Windows 8 users there are. I think it's less than that. That would be kind of stunning. So a big success for Microsoft. But there are some issues that people should be aware of, including this bigger issue of privacy. Now, we're going to, every company that's on the internet is keeping track of what we do on the internet and recording it and logging it. Yes, even Apple. Most of the time, that's to show us ads. But Microsoft, in their end user license agreement for Windows 10, I think admitted to something tacitly, maybe they wanted us to see this, that we should all be aware of. They said that they have a way to access our private files. Files in private folders is the term they use. Files in private folders, and would give them to law enforcement should they be required to. Now, of course, that second part, give them to law enforcement should they be required to, that's everybody has to do that. That's the law of the land. And thanks to the Patriot Act, law enforcement can ask for those and say no, and you can't tell anybody that you've given it to us. But that there's nothing Microsoft could do about that except, I don't know, move offshore, run out of Trinidad and Tobago or something. That's not going to happen. So Apple is required to do that. Google's required it. Everybody, Facebook, everybody's required, upon a proper request from law enforcement, to hand this stuff over. The thing that I found interesting was they said, in effect, we have access to your private files. See, it wouldn't be a big deal if, Microsoft, and I'm pretty sure in years past, if law enforcement came to them and said, well, we'd like to know what's on Leo's Windows 8 computer, or maybe we'll go back a little farther, Windows 7 computer, I'm pretty sure Microsoft would say, well, we don't know what's on his computer. How would we know that? That's his computer. We have no way to access that. Isn't that what you assumed? It's what I assumed. That's my personal hard drive. Nobody knows what's on that but me, right? If law enforcement wants to know what's on it, they have to come to me. They have to get a search warrant. Come to me. Take my computer. Believe me, they can do that. They're able to do that. But they shouldn't be able to do it without my knowledge via the internet. They shouldn't be able to go to a third party like Microsoft and say, what's on Leo's computer? And in this end user license agreement, unless we are all misreading it, that's what it says. That's a little puzzling to me. Now, of course, you can get around that. There's two ways. One, go through your settings. If you picked Express settings, or if you haven't installed it yet, great. Don't pick Express settings during the install. I know it's a lot easier. There's a lot of checkboxes. You don't want to do it. And I was lazy and I said, yes, go ahead. Don't go through the settings one by one. And if you've already installed and you picked Express settings, go back into your settings and you can go through these. And there are many settings in there. I don't know yet, and I'll have to look, if there's a setting that says, don't give Microsoft access to my personal files. I hope there's a setting that says that. If not, then you have a second choice, and that's encryption. And frankly, more and more, this is the only choice for people. Certainly, if you're using the internet for anything, email, sharing files, sharing photos, encrypting it before it goes on the internet is the only way you can be sure no one can see this. Not Microsoft, not law enforcement, nobody. If they wanted to see it, law enforcement would have to come to me and say, what's the key? What's the encryption key? They'd have, and that's what you want. Look, I mean, if they do that, that's fine. But they have to present me with a search warrant. They have to present me with a subpoena, not some third party that I do business with. Now, there is a second question. Should I use Microsoft's built-in encryption? If you have Windows Pro, you have access to Microsoft's BitLocker built-in encryption. I have to, at this point, assume, I guess we'll have to read that EULA carefully, that they might even have a backdoor into that, right? Law enforcement might have a way of reading encrypted files that use Microsoft's encryption. So probably I've always said this, the only way you can really be sure that you're using encryption that no one can break is to use open source software where the software code itself can be examined, analyzed, and audited and proven not to have backdoors for law enforcement or backdoors for the company that provides it, that only you can look at it with the proper key. TrueCrypt, which was our program of choice for decades, it seems like, maybe not decades, for a decade, is no longer available. The folks at TrueCrypt decided to stop doing it. Fortunately, people have preserved the last good version of TrueCrypt. Because it was open source, people have examined it and audited it and given it a thumbs up. There's no government backdoor in this. So if you can get it from a source, a good source, where you know it's the good version of TrueCrypt, that's a good choice. And I think and by the way, my friend Steve Gibson at GRC.com and he's a trustworthy, reliable fellow. He provides the last good version of TrueCrypt on his website. There are many others that do that. I think that if you are worried, if you hear this, and I have to think Microsoft did this on purpose. I think Microsoft's letting us know. I feel like they didn't really feel like they could decline the request from law enforcement, probably federal law enforcement, to put this bugging stuff in Windows 10, but they wanted to make sure we knew. And I think that this is, you know, unless we hear otherwise from Microsoft, unless we hear a strong denial and, oh, we miswrote that. No, we don't have a way. Let's change that. Let's modify that language. That's a misstatement. Unless you hear that, assume that Microsoft gave in to federal law enforcement officials, has software that allows them to look into our computer, and will hand over anything on our computer to law enforcement should they be asked. People say, well, if you don't do anything wrong, you got nothing to fear. Yeah, I just came back from Holland, and boy, a telling story in Holland. For many decades, since the 19th century, the Dutch are very precise people. They kept very precise records on every person in Holland from the 1800s on, including religion. Nothing to fear from the Dutch authorities. I haven't done anything wrong. Sure, I'll tell you my religion. Until the Nazis took over Holland. And it made it very easy for the Nazis to round up all the Jews in Holland because they had those records. So I don't fear our current government. Maybe I should. I don't. I don't fear Microsoft. But we have a reasonable expectation of privacy. And if using a computer operating system means that whatever I put on my hard drive is available to any law enforcement that requests it, that seems like a problem. I'd love to know more about that. Maybe they'll rewrite it. Say, oh, no, 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 only if you give us access for support purposes. Maybe they'll rewrite it. I want to hear that. 8888 Ask Leo. Back to the phones we go in just a little bit. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. You know me. But that line does worry me. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Our travel guru, who is in Tapuaetai just yesterday on the Cook Islands. Where are you today, Johnny?
I just actually landed in Toronto at the Billy Bishop Airport. I came in on Porter, and I wish you could see my backdrop because the CN Tower is right there. And
you landed on that little island airport in Toronto.
Yes.
Out there in the lake.
Yeah,
I always wondered how you land there because, of course, most people go to, Pearson?
Yep, YYZ.
YYZ, and that's the big airport where jets land. How? What kind of airline do you have to fly to land on the little island there?
So these are Bombardier's Q400s.
The little turboprops.
They're turboprops. And it's,
where'd you fly from? Buffalo?
No, Newark.
Newark.
From Newark? Oh. Yeah, and when they have sales, it's a great deal, $89. What I love about Porter, by the way, is that they have a lounge for every single passenger, so free drinks and some snacks, and it's just, you know, it's a great airline. Not many people know about it. And they fly to Boston, Chicago, and Myrtle Beach, a bunch of different cities.
Well, someday I would love, because I knew there was an airport out there. I've been to Toronto, was going to Toronto once a month for years, but I always flew to YYZ. I want to fly to that little airport.
For sure. You
gotta
try it out.
Is it scary landing there?
No. Are you kidding me? It's actually the best view. Make sure you sit on the right side of the plane because usually they come in and they go right by the city. And actually, I just posted a picture on my Twitter. You could see the window was dirty, but you can get a little bit of an idea what the view looks like.
Very cool.
But it's amazing. But I should also mention that I'm calling you on the phone instead of Skyping because I couldn't find a good, strong enough Wi-Fi signal. But I have T-Mobile. They don't pay me or anything like this, but they now offer a plan where Mexico and Canada is just like calling from any other state in the United States.
Nice. So yeah, for the rest of the world, it's 20 cents a minute, but free from Mexico and Canada, that's awesome.
I mean, that's awesome. I just love what they're doing. So they're great for travelers. So if you go to Canada and Mexico, definitely look at T-Mobile.
I want to also report that for the longest time, I thought the internet was going to eliminate travel agents, and that with people like Johnny Jet and sites like Kayak and Orbitz, I would no longer need a travel agent. Boy, was I wrong. And Dr. Mom in our chat room suggested her travel agent from the travel store, Jane Zugsmith, and she has been great. So I'm going to tell her I want to land on Porter Airlines on the island, and she'll book me a flight.
I'm a huge fan of travel agents.
I know you are, and you told me, everybody told me, especially for cruises, to go with a travel agent. And I'm one of those foolish, you know, internet users that thinks I don't need one. But
no,
she already, Jane has done stuff for me that I couldn't do, so I'm really, really grateful.
But you don't need a travel agent to just book simple tickets. I don't even think they want your business.
No, airline tickets, no. But more complicated things, yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Safaris, cruises.
Yeah, she's a safari expert.
Honeymoons, all that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to have her do our safari. Yeah. So, but either way, I'm not bringing my bow and arrow. Don't worry. Oh, man. So Johnny usually comes to us to help us get more out of our travels using the internet and our smartphones. So he always has a website and an app. What do you got for us?
So my first website is called safercar.gov. So it's a government website, safercar.gov.
Yeah.
So I learned about this one actually watching the Today Show earlier this week. So, you know, it turns out there was a recall of all these cars.
Yeah, the Fiat Chrysler recalled all their Uconnect cars because of those hackers.
Well, no. Well, this is different, actually. This is 34 million vehicles had these Takata airbags.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess they were just opening up just while people were driving.
Yeah, little pieces of metal in there and stuff. Yeah, you probably don't want those.
Yeah. So it turns out that it's illegal for the car companies to sell them, but it's not illegal for car rental companies to rent them.
What?
Which is ridiculous. So what you do is you go to this website and you can put in the VIN number, which is the vehicle identification number of the car that you're renting, and make sure this is not one of them that has been recalled.
That's a good idea. And if it is, tell Hertz or whoever, hey, I don't want this one.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
Definitely check that out. You can do it really quickly, and so I like that. And so I got another one for you.
Yeah.
I got an app for you. So I was having dinner. I just landed from New York where I was with my dad. And we were at the dinner one night. And, the menu was so small. The print on the menu was so small. And it was so dark in there, he couldn't read the menu.
No.
And you know what? I couldn't really read it either. And I'm half his age. So I was like, there must be an app that has a magnifying glass. So I just, I just searched it. And sure enough, I found one that had a great rating.
Even better, magnifying glass and turns on the flash. Then you could really read it.
That's exactly what this one does. It's called magnifying glass with light. Unfortunately, this one is only for iOS, but I'm sure there's one for Android. I just don't have an Android phone anymore.
I have seen so many people use their phones to read menus now. This is such a great idea.
It's perfect for travelers because all over the world, I mean, I guess I'm getting older, but the type seems to be getting smaller.
No. It is getting smaller. These kids today, it's and not only that, my clothes are shrinking spontaneously. I just don't understand it. It's very confusing. Yeah. I guess if you didn't have an app, you could use the camera app on your phone and turn on the flash, force the flash on the camera app, and that probably let you read it too a little bit. But that's a good tip because nowadays – kids today, they're making these menus so small, so dark, so tiny.
It's the kids.
It's the kids. They don't. Kids today. Not only that, I don't know why. My belts, they're getting smaller. Does leather shrink? Because
I was wondering the same thing.
Johnny Jett, he is online at johnnyjett.com. Go to his website. Lots of great travel tips there. Not only that, subscribe to his free travel newsletter because he has deals all the time on travel all over the world. johnnyjett.com. Follow him on Twitter. Lots of stuff there. And if you really want to see the world through the eyes of Johnny Jett, the Instagram account, I love Instagram so much. And it's because of people like you, Johnny. Posting really great pictures from all around the world. I just love them. There's lavender fields in Provence, followed by an island called One Foot Island in the Cook Islands. Whoever heard of that? Where are the Cook Islands? Pacific?
Yes, of course. They're between the U.S. and Australia. So actually, if you look at New Zealand on a map, it's halfway between New Zealand and Hawaii, straight up.
You were there like 2 days ago.
No. That's actually I put a hashtag later, Graham. That was a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
But
I want to go to One Foot Island. I'm going to call Jane and say I want to go there. And there is a Grignan in Provence in the lavender fields of Provence. Here's sunflowers. You are a travel guru. JohnnyJett.com. Hey, thanks, Johnny. Have a great time in Toronto. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Tim.
I love Toronto, too, actually. Leo Laporte, The Tech Guy. More calls right after that. Leo Laporte, The Tech Guy. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. BJ's on the line from Reseda, California. Hello, BJ. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for being with me, Leo.
My pleasure.
I have about 2 years ago. You were talking about the new Android phones, and you mentioned the Moto X.
Yes.
Now, I have had a Samsung Eternity for at least 6 to 8 years. I bought it for a penny.
You've had it for an eternity.
And it's working great, but everyone says you got to have one of the new Android phones. And you said this Moto X at the time, because it was helpfully designed by users, was the best one out there for a new user of the Android type.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. Is your Eternity Android? I don't even think it's Android. I think it's just.
No. It's I can go online, but it doesn't. You know, it doesn't have any of the apps or right. that stuff.
You're living basically in the mid 2000s.
Right. It was one of the first ones that was touchscreen.
Right. So, yes, I think you'd benefit a lot. You know what I would look at if I were you? The Moto X is going to be updated, but they call it the Pure Edition. But it's not going to be out for a while. And I think there are some questions about it, including battery life. Here's what I would get that you're going to love, which is the Moto G. In fact, I just ordered Moto G, like good. G for good. And then they just came out with a brand new one. You can order it now, but you don't get it through your phone company. Who's your phone company?
AT&T.
Okay. You get it through Motorola.com. It's about $250, $200 to $250, all included, out the door. There's no subsidy. But you own it. And then you can take your AT&T and SIM and put it in it. Because it's not locked, and you could take. Actually, if you go out of the country, you could put somebody else's SIM in it. I think it is for the price the best Android phone out there. It's a massive upgrade over your Eternity, not much bigger either, which is nice. I mean, if you look at most of the new phones today, they're ginormous.
They're too big.
They're too big for you. Even the Moto G, frankly, you might think is too big. It's 5 inches, but it's hard to find anything much smaller than that. And I think I think if you want a good Android phone, very good price. It only had now. There's two versions. There's one with 8 gigabytes of storage and 1 gig of RAM. Step for $50, you can get the double the storage, double the RAM, and I would. 2 gigs of RAM is kind of the minimum I think to use Android. And you can put a little SD card in there, up to 32 gigs. And I would get an SD card at some point. They're cheap for photos because it's got a good camera. Your camera in the Eternity, I don't even think it's fair to call that a camera.
Yes, very much.
But the Moto G has the same camera that the Motorola put in the Nexus 6, which is really quite a good 13-megapixel shooter. I think it's excellent. The other thing I like about it, it's pure Android. They haven't put a lot of junk on it. There'll be no carrier junk because you're not buying it from a carrier. But there'll be no manufacturer junk either. They're not skinning it. It's pure lollipop pleasure. I really like it. It is the phone I'm generally recommending to people who don't want the highest-end full-featured phone. And that's for you. This is such a jump ahead. I think you'd be happy with it.
I don't need anything. Yeah. I hardly ever use the camera on my...
Well, you may find if you have a good... Here's my suspicion. If you have a good camera, you may find you use it more.
And I don't text ever. I'm dyslexic, so I don't even attempt this texting thing.
Okay, no texting. You can dictate texts on this. You might like that. It has Wi-Fi, which your phone didn't have. So if you're... No. There's a lot of reasons to like this phone. It will work fine with AT&T, but you'll have to go to the AT&T store to get a new SIM card that fits it because you're not going to be able to take the old one out of the Eternity. It'll be a full-size SIM, and you're going to need probably a nano SIM for this one. So, but the AT&T store will do that for you for free. It's probably a good idea to do that anyway. And I think this would be my strongest recommendation. In fact, anybody listening who's interested in saving money getting a relatively low-cost Android phone that doesn't make huge sacrifices, and oh, by the way, has lots of battery life, that's something you're going to miss a little bit. The more modern phones have to be charged every day. You know, when you go to bed, you charge it and you get up. And what you hope is they'll get through the day. Most of the newest top-of-the-line phones don't even get through the day.
Wow.
This one will. In fact, this one will probably give you a day and a half.
Yeah, this Eternity, I can have 5 days or more.
Those days are gone. Your old feature phones like the Eternity, your flip phones, yeah. But no, because the screens are better, they're doing more, they're faster processors. But this one will go through a day, no problem. You just remember to plug it in every night.
One quick question, Leroy, if I can.
Sure.
I've had Juno email ever since I got a computer back in the 88. And, of course, they were my internet provider at the time, but in subsequent, I've gone to cable. Now when I go to Juno and I bring it up, I get this constant audio of, number one, it's distorted sometimes, but it's, is there any way to turn that off?
Yeah, get rid of Juno ASAP. First of all, if you don't get rid of them, they're going to get rid of you, because I can't imagine that they're going to be around much longer.
Really?
Yeah. So here's, is that your internet service provider, or are you just using them for email?
No, that is because I've had the email forever there.
Yeah, you're going to have to tell people.
Everyone knows that.
I know.
Right now I was with DSL Extreme for all the time, but recommendation for years.
Good.
But because they couldn't provide me the speed I needed for uploading and downloading, I had to go to, Time Warner.
All right. But don't use Time Warner's email. There's a couple of things you can do if you really want to future-proof this. In other words, if you want to, you're going to have to at some point, sooner or later, whether you want to or not, tell people I'm not at Juno.com anymore. You're going to have to say, hey, I got a new email address. Let's do this once and once only. What I would suggest is you pay $9 a year. Go to somebody like Hover.com, GoDaddy.com, a domain registrar, and buy a domain name. The reason you want to do that is you'll never have to change the email address again. What you're going to use is something called mail forwarding. So you set this up. Hover makes this very easy. You set it up at hover.com. You say, I want email forwarding. You don't want them to store your email, because I'm going to suggest you use Gmail for your email. It'll work better with that new phone. In fact, Google everything, contacts, calendar, and mail on any Android device. That's the easiest way to go. And then you get a new device. You don't have to even worry about it. It just automatically works. So I'm sure you have a Google account. If you don't, create one. Create a Gmail account. But don't tell people your new Gmail address. Go to Hover and say, you know, bjsemail.com. Get your family name. Get a name that you can remember that's memorable, .com. And then you can have email, bj@myemail.com. And you'll even if you change providers, even if you go, you leave, you know, Gmail becomes Juno in 10 years, you go somewhere else, you don't ever have to worry, because all you change is the email forwarding. It's like having, it's a master email address that you never change. That's what I use. I bought leoville.com years ago, and I use that. But my email is provided by Gmail. I just have anything that goes to leoville.com sent over to my Gmail account. That, to me, is the best way to go. And then it's easy to set up your new phone to automatically get Gmail, get the calendar, get the contacts. Your life will be better as a result of it. If you don't want to go out and do the extra stuff about getting I think Gmail's going to be around for a long time. So just get a Gmail address. Cost you nothing. Give that out. You're going to have to write everybody once. Actually, do it now. Keep your Juno account for a little while. You can have mail forward. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Sounds like moving. GizWiz coming up. Before we do that, though, let me tell you how to hire a new employee. This has nothing to do with you, Dick, really.
Oh, okay, very good. What a roundabout way to say I'm finished.
If you're the person at your work or business that does the hiring, you know this is a challenge. On the other hand, I got to say, there's never been an easier time to hire people thanks to job boards and the internet. And by the way, summertime, a great time because everybody's on vacation. So the chance that you're going to get that perfect candidate because there's less competition improves. But you've got to find the candidates first. And that's why I really love and recommend ZipRecruiter. We've used it. The nice thing about ZipRecruiter is when you post once to ZipRecruiter, you're posting to more than 100 job boards and social networks too, like Twitter and Facebook. And I mean, it's just so cool. Plus, they have 4 million current resumes, and they'll match to those too. So you're going to get candidates like crazy. You might say, well, Leo, I don't want to get all those emails or calls. You won't. It all goes into the ZipRecruiter interface, makes it very easy for you to screen, rate, and then hire the right candidate fast. It might take you a day or two. Believe me, once you use ZipRecruiter, you'll never go back to the old way of doing things. That's why more than 400,000 businesses use ZipRecruiter. We got an email from Janet. She's a ZipRecruiter customer. She says, I was looking for two positions at my marketing agency. I got 100-plus resumes in a month, found almost all of them to be spot on and well-matched to our request. We've filled the jobs and would use ZipRecruiter again without hesitation. There are lots of these referrals. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/techguy. 4 days free. Plenty of time to find the right person right now. ZipRecruiter.com/techguy. Take a look. You'll never go back to the old way of hiring. ZipRecruiter.com/techguy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Time for the Gizwiz. Dick D. Bartolo, Mad Magazine's maddest writer. You're at Android. What Android phone do you use? Is it the Note?
I'm using the Galaxy S5.
Five, okay.
The 5.
Are you happy with that, Dick, or are you ready to move on?
You know what? I was thinking about the 6 Edge. Do you have the Edge?
I have
You
the
have
Edge.
Every phone in the world.
No, I do, in fact.
Yeah, and you like that?
I like the Edge a lot. It's a little... Probably no different than your 5. All of that Samsung software, sometimes it causes some hesitation. Like,
oh, okay.
It's like thinking. I don't like my phone to think. I want it to just do.
That's what your brain is for.
I'm like Yoda. There is no think. Just do. Now, Dick joins us. He's Mad Magazine. By the way, you might say, Dick D. Bartolo, that sounds like a name from my youth. Yes, he's Mad Magazine's maddest writer and has been for decades. I grew
Forever
up with Dickie
ever.
D. He's like the funniest guy you've ever met. But he also happens to be a gadget freak. And he's always he loves this stuff. Love this stuff.
I have something. We're talking about the heat. The half the country is in terrible heat. Well, there's a guy, Josh Malone, who came up with an incredible idea. Now, I know your kids are grown, but when they were kids, did you do water balloon fights?
Oh, yeah. We still do with Michael, with Lisa's 12-year-old. You bet.
Okay. Well, water balloons, they take a bit of doing to fill them and to tie them off. So Josh came up with a way to make 35 water balloons tied off.
I've used this.
20 seconds. Oh, you did?
We used this at Michael's last party.
Bunch-o-balloons. Right. So, Leo, he wanted $10,000 on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Okay? He got the $10,000 in 12 hours.
Yeah.
He ended up with $936,000. Can you imagine?
Wow.
Yeah.
So you can fill up 30 balloons. You connect it to the hose.
Exactly.
And it fills up 30 balloons.
35.
35 balloons. And then...
In seconds. You did that. You were doing it yourself,
we
right?
We did it. It took... Now, the first... We got several. The first one was a little funny. They didn't all fill up. So it takes a little practice.
Yeah. So I only did one.
Get
and
an
a couple,
extra.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they evidently... They handed me this at a press event, so there was no packaging. But I was reading online that they give you 5 extra balloons to slip on in case there are any duds.
Yeah, with 35 balloons, there are going to be some duds, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But you get 3 of those clusters for $13 at Walmart or Bed Bath & Beyond, and... They come in many colors.
Does it come with the protective glasses and hard hats?
No. See, I live in New York City. See, in the country, it's a fun thing. In New York City, it's a lawsuit. So
you actually tried this out in your backyard.
I actually tried it out, and then it said, don't you want to practice? And I said, I have 2 of these. What's the practice? But
if it works, I want it on tape.
Exactly. And also, I thought... You know, the average person is just going to put it on a hose.
If it doesn't
work,
I want it on tape,
see what happens. Yeah. And I was really impressed with it.
Yeah.
And there were also a lot of, on Amazon, a lot of people said you have to throw them within 10 minutes or they dissolve or they deflate.
Yeah. You want to use them.
But I left them in overnight and half of them are still floating fine.
Okay.
By the way,
we should mention, and I do thank UOSD Wiz in the chat room, to remind you that cluster balloons are banned by Geneva Conventions in some nations. So check your...
I'm just kidding. What are you kidding?
All right, you're going to fill these up. I'm watching the YouTube video. Are you going to fill them up?
Oh,
I
do.
You're just going to talk and talk?
Yeah. Go,
all right,
go,
here
go,
we go.
Go, go
so
go,
you have go. A regular hose connector. You don't... You obviously
yeah, exactly.
No nozzle.
You don't need... To. by the thing. And
do you need a lot of pressure? Because that might have been one of the problems we had, is we don't have a lot of water pressure.
You know what? In New York City, the pressure is pretty decent. And I didn't realize why in all the videos they seem to hold it over a container.
Why?
It's because one or two of the balloons will sometimes just slip right off.
Right.
And you'll drench your feet. So this way, they just fill up. And then you shake them, and they fall into the bin. And I had just two duds out of the 35.
And imagine, for a water balloon fight, I mean, how much are these each?
You get more than 100 balloons for $13.
Oh, man. We had so much fun. The kids' water balloon fight like crazy. It was so much fun.
Yeah, and it's a little, it's so clever. There's a little O-ring that when the balloon slides off filled, the O-ring snaps over the end of the balloon.
I didn't even think of that. They do have to solve that, don't they?
Yeah.
So this is called, you might have seen the TV commercial. It's called
Bunch-O-Balloons.
And the kids are having so much fun. It's from Zuru.
Yes.
Z-U-R-U.
Z-U-R-U.
And it's funny that you should have mentioned that. I think we saw them at Kmart or somewhere. And
absolutely. Yeah. All the big stores have them.
And we thought, well, this would be fun. And it was. It was a lot of fun. They're not giant. I mean, they're how big are they?
Avocado. I would say they're a little bit bigger than a tennis ball.
Okay. Yeah. But that's all you want for a water
balloon. But they're fun. Absolutely.
Dickie D's.
I have to come up with something that I want to make $936,000.
Can you imagine? Jiminy.
Yeah.
Dickie D is at gizwiz.biz. That's the website. That's a place to go if you want to learn more about this. Just click the tech guy link there. But while you're there, you might want to browse around. There's so much good stuff, including the What the Heck Is It contest. Chance to win an autographed copy of Mad Magazine. He's got a picture, close-up, of some sort of gadget. People, I think, always try to get the right answer on this, but it's not really about that. There's 12 autographed Mad Magazines for the right answer. There's 24 for the best wrong answers. So don't even try. Just give them a wrong.
Stupidity wins.
Gizwiz.biz. Dickie D, thanks so much. Don't forget the Gizwiz show, gizwiz.tv. Each and every Thursday, you and Chad, and it's a blast. It's really been fun.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Dickie D. I think we have time for one more call. Let's see here. Michael in San Dimas, California. Hi, Michael. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Obi-Wan, help me.
Yes, I shall. I am here.
Windows Media Center.
Oh, I can't help you. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Did you upgrade to Windows 10?
No, I've got Windows 8.
Yeah.
And I know they're not supporting it anymore. And a couple of weeks ago, I lost the guide, which means you can't set the recorder to record for anything.
Yeah.
So then I looked up some things, and I found Kodi. And
K-O-D-I. It's the old XBMC. That's a good choice.
Well, it's okay. I don't think it's as good as Windows Media Center, but I just said, well, okay, let's start doing this thing. And I kind of got it half set up. And then this morning I found a listing on Google about getting a new guide for WMC. I thought, well, great. So I set it up. I got the guide. It's got the listings. I went, great. I can hang on to this thing. And then I started up Netflix, and it said, starting September the 15th, you will no longer be able to view Netflix on Windows Media Center.
You understand a couple of things.
Oh, no.
Microsoft hasn't worked on Windows Media Center since 2009. It's been 6 years.
Yeah.
And as you say correctly, they pull it out. You can no longer get – you were able to download it for 8. No, it's done. No more. There's nothing exactly the same. A lot of people say they like Kodi or Plex. How about Myth TV? M-Y-T-H TV. It does the DVR stuff, mythtv.org. It's open source. You'll have to build a system just for it. If anybody has a good solution, I'd love to hear it. Go to the website, techguylabs.com, because we're out of time. I hope you have a great Geek Week. Thanks to Nathan Staten, our musical director, Heather Hammond, the Phone Ranger. I'm Leo Laporte. Have a great Geek Week. Bye-bye. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows and Windows Weekly, Macintosh and MacBreak Weekly, iPad on iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.